The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
God's grace and peace be and abide with us on this the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and living God, as you called your people together in your name, you promised through your word that you are in the midst of us. Be here, O Lord, in this hour of worship. Allow our hearts to be turned to you. Assure us that you are near. Give us the comfort of your love, the assurance of your grace, and the hope of a life with you that never ends. We offer our every prayer in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord. Amen. It has indeed been one of those weeks when I have tried to make sense of that which is a mystery of life and death, and things beyond my control, my human understanding, and my comprehension. In my own grief this week, and in my own consolation, I, like Paul in his letter to the Philippians, have asked for the peace that surpasses all understanding, that it would keep and guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. And then, as people of faith, we turn to the Word of God, to the voice of the One who speaks to us, to comfort us and to console us. And so our lessons for the day offer us great opportunity to hear God's voice yet another time. The lessons appointed for this day are filled with promise for us, especially in light of the events of this past week. The first lesson: God assures the people, "I carried you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself." In the gospel lesson, Jesus said to the disciples, "Go out and preach and tell them this: the kingdom, my kingdom, the kingdom of God, of heaven, is near." Nearer than we all might think. And in the second lesson, St. Paul, writing to the Romans, said, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for all." At just the right time, Christ died. My guess is you've heard the word kairos before as you've been around the church. It's that Greek word that means just the right time. It appears 88 times in the New Testament in 18 different of the 27 books. And it talks about God's time, the proper time, the appropriate time, the exact right time. And Paul said, at the right time, in the midst of our weakness, Christ died for us. As we prepare ourselves to reflect on that particular passage for a moment, I would ask you to turn in the blue hymnal to hymn 770. And as we sing this hymn in the midst of this sermon message today, to think about the life's journey that we are on, that is depicted in these words, that we are all on as the baptized children of God, living in a life of many uncertainties, but many, many promises. Hymn 770. Sang the way we all would like it to be. When the evening gently closes in and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there as I have always been, with just one more surprise. But it doesn't always work out for us that way, that we, when we are old, just shut our eyes and breathe our last breath. And this passage that we have before us today that tells us that at the right time Christ Jesus died for us in the midst of a week when death and dying and life and new life is so much on our minds and hearts allows me to ask a very pertinent question. Is there ever a right time for us to die? Not an easy question to answer. We know that it certainly wasn't God's will when God created this universe and this world that any of us should ever die. We were put into being by the breath of God to live in harmony with God and with one another and with God's creation for all of time. God asked us to be obedient to God and to be worshipful to God, and so we would live in harmony with God. But of course, it's not the way that life went for the human family and for the world. We fell. We fell into sin. We chose by our free will that God had given us that would have allowed us to obey God completely, to also rebel and disobey. And if we remember the words in Genesis 2, when God set the standard for God's creatures that he had placed in the midst of that garden, he said, "You may eat freely of every tree in the garden except the one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat it or touch it, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Death is not part of God's plan, of God's creation or order. Rather, it's the result of our disobedience in our broken world, and it comes to us in all kinds of ways. It comes when we are very old, of natural causes. It comes through acts of violence against any age. It comes to the innocent and to the very young when life, for some reason, cannot be sustained. And it comes through the results of illnesses and diseases and accidents. Death has no boundaries, and no one of us is immune, and all of us, or each and every one of us, it brings a mystery that's beyond our comprehension. So the question for us all, and for those of us who hold the faith in the words of God so dear, is it ever the right time for us to die? My understanding of Scripture would lead me to answer that question by saying no. It's never the right time for us. The Kairos time for us. And I would say that there's only one exception when it was the right time for one to die. Since death is not God's will or way for us, since it's the result of our separation and our brokenness with God and with the world, death is not part of God's Kairos timing, and it has become part of this imperfect world. It's become part of another Greek word from which we get the word chronology, chronos, which means the passing of time. And now in the brokenness in which you and I live, in the chronos, the chronological time, at some point along the way, then it comes our way. We cannot avoid it. We are given up to it. It's very, very unpredictable. And it has become, according to Scripture, the very enemy of God, the one who created life, and the one who wanted us to live with God forever. So for the very old, old person whose aged body has yielded to the years, for the newborn infant, and for any in between, it's not what God has intended for us. It's not part of God's timing for us. It's simply what we receive and inherit in a world that has become imperfect by us. Consequently, we cannot make God responsible or credit God with death, since God is the creator of life. And we have interrupted God's creation with our brokenness and with our sin and with the consequences of death. So I am not able or willing to say that God made a decision this past week that has so significantly impacted the Sims family and this congregation and our Pacifica Synod and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and the whole of this community, and of the Holy Catholic Church. I can't hold God responsible for something that's so contrary to the nature of God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that God is not the author of confusion, but that God is the author of peace. So we cannot allow our God to take responsibility for something that God does not offer. But we do know that our God, the God who offers peace, this God of boundless love and amazing grace, must indeed respond to the brokenness and the confusion and the chaos that we have brought into this world into which God has placed us. The one exception to whether or not death could ever be right for God, a kairos moment for God, is the one that Paul wrote about in the letter to the Corinthians, when Paul said that in the right time, at the right moment, God gave to this world Christ Jesus, to the weak and to the powerless, that he would die for the sin of the world, for all the ungodliness, and for all people. That was God's perfect timing. And that indeed was God's idea after we had changed God's original plan and creation from perfection to imperfection. And so God's alternate plan, or second plan after God's creation, was to recreate this world and to recreate you and me and again give us life that would have no end. But this time, a life that would be interrupted by physical death and then resurrected into new life. Death is not going to have the final word in God's new plan for us. God intervenes, and God, in God's own way, knowing the only way that God could correct and reconcile what we have done, is for God himself in Christ Jesus to die for you and for me. For Pastor Timothy Sims and for all who have gone before us in the life of faith. And God chose that right time to bring his own being in Christ into this world, to walk among us, to love us, to surround us, embrace us, to heal us, to forgive us, to go to the cross for us, to be buried for us, and then to rise up for us and for our eternal life with God. In a magazine called The Other Side, a writer named Lee Griffin recently wrote an article, and in that article he said that resurrection is the true terror for anyone who would believe that death is the final word. Resurrection to terror for any who believe that death is the final word. Resurrection is the promise, and it's the word of truth. And this church has proclaimed it for all of its years in ministry, and it's been preached from this chancel area week after week, and it's been taught in classrooms and confirmation classes and adult classes and other learning moments. This resurrection truth of God recreating life in the face of death is what permeates your liturgy. It's what becomes your daily witness. It's what will be proclaimed again today at the baptismal font, and it will be received in body and blood, in bread and wine, as we come to the altar to receive the bread of life, the gift of God, for the salvation of God's people. This is not this church that we're doing today and that you've been doing all these past years. This is the proclamation of hope and promise that God has the final word, and that in God's right time, God offers to all of us life and new life rather than death. Life through the cross, life through the grave, life through resurrection. That was the kairos time of God when Jesus came to be among us, the right time for him to die. And because he rose, we too, when our life ends at times that are never right with the heart of God, then God gives us the new life in Christ that he's able to promise to us all. Following several heartbreaking phone calls on Monday night, early on Tuesday morning, I awoke after very little and most troubling sleep, and I headed for this place, for here, to be with the congregation that would gather for morning prayer at 8 o'clock. And as I came down through Orange County and across Pendleton, the sun was starting to shed its light upon a new day. The long, weary night, the troubling night, was ending. The news that had brought tears and disbelief to us all was so dark and so dreary and so very heavy on our hearts. And it was so fresh in our minds, even that morning, and certainly in mine as I contemplated what this congregation and the Sims family was ready to face this week. And there came the sun over the coastal mountains from the east. And I knew that in spite of the fact that we were all in for a horrendous week, that the sun was giving us another reminder that God had created yet another new day. When the women came out early in the morning, we're told in the Gospels, at the breaking of the day, at the rising of the sun, they came expecting to find one that they loved still in the grave, but the stone was rolled back and the grave was empty. And the angel said, "He is not here, he is arisen." On Tuesday, as the dawn was breaking and shining light on a day that would be filled with so much pain for so many, there was a sign of resurrection as the sun shone over the mountains. Gregory, a 6th century saint, who was elected one of the popes of the church, said that the church is like the dawn. The church is like the dawn. There are people who will not believe that what we have experienced this last week is the last word or the final word. We will not be defeated, but we will continue to embrace the God who gives to us yet another new day, another opportunity to live with God and live with one another and to believe and to move through and beyond this time, and to know that the kingdom of heaven is near. We will continue to believe that a devout baptismal child named Timothy has been embraced by God and offered an eternal promise. We will be embraced by a belief that God has held a family close to him that is so torn and broken by the news they received on Monday afternoon. And yet, that God, their God, our God, is so very near. And we will go out from this service and from this day and into our tomorrows as a people who know there is the dawn of yet another new day and an opportunity for us to witness the Christ in our midst and in our lives, and to know that our death will not be the last word or the final word, but the beginning of a new life that Christ gives to us when he, at the right time, gave his life for you and for me. So the question I have to ask myself this day, and perhaps you would ask it too, is do we truly believe this? All this that we've been saying and preaching and praying and singing about these many years as the church, do we believe God's word is the final word and that death is never the final word? Do we believe that this opportunity for new life is offered to all of us, every one of us? Do we believe that at the Kairos moment, Christ came and gives to us a promise that we can walk with God through this life, into death, and then beyond again in the new life that he gives to us? As we dare to believe this, we shatter the lie of those who say that death is the end, the final thing, the final word. And God shatters the dark night with the dawning of resurrection life. As I close, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your believing. Thank you for your presence here today that shouts out that you do indeed believe that there is something beyond our physical death. That Christ is risen and risen indeed, and it says that we too believe that we will be part of a new creation. I want to thank you for your love and your embrace for one another. the support that you have given to each other this past week especially, and the support that you've given to the Sims family, and we'll encourage you to continue to surround each other and embrace one another as you've done now. And I want to thank you for the way that you have loved Pastor Timothy Sims. As the pastors of the ELCA met on Wednesday morning and reflected about what had happened here in our midst, one of our colleagues said that Timothy had said to him recently, "I am having so much fun in my ministry at St. Peter's. I can't believe how good my ministry is. Because, you know, those people know me. They know everything about me, and they still love me." That was his testimony, his word about you and your relationship with each other, and in a sense, your relationship with God. And that's the way that God loves us. He knows us. He knows our frailties. He knows we've rebelled and we've brought brokenness to his creation, and yet he loves us. He loves us. And that's the way that Timothy loves you. Loves you deeply from his heart. Shepherded you with all that he had. And that's the way that he would have you love each other and love our God and love the ministry of the church in the days ahead. Now may that peace that does indeed surpass our comprehension keep our hearts and our minds safe and guarded in Christ Jesus, who has come to be among us at just the right time.